very kind of you. I'm not qualified, really, to speak, so I'm diocesan. Except by the causeless mercy of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, there are different kinds of siddhas. There is Nitya Siddha, such as Srila Prabhupada, and there is Sadhana Siddha, those who perform sadhana very nicely, and then there are Kripa Siddhas. But Sadhana Siddha is also Kripa Siddha. By the mercy of the spiritual master, when we have nice sadhana. But then there is Kripa Siddha.
हरे कृष्णा किन भक्तों को जिनको हिंदी अनुवाद चाहिए वो पीछे अनुवाद हो रहा है पीछे हिंदी का तो आप पीछे आ सकते हैं
So Kripa Siddha means just by the mercy of the spiritual master, the pure devotee, that one gets to perfection. Too loud. One gets to perfection of engaging in devotional service to the Lord. So, at my position, just by your mercy, I'm reading. So we're reading from Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, volume 5, chapter 6, and we're with Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur in June of 1973. This is about the time that I was initiated, I think, in November of 1973. And didn't know that Prabhupada was in Mayapur at that time. Raising money and buying the land, arranging for workers and materials, it had been an arduous struggle, replete with bureaucratic delays, forms, fees, supply shortages, and the like. Prabhupada would not tolerate any carelessness or waste. The building, which was turning out to be so artistic, substantial, and useful, was actually a gift from Lord Krishna. So to live here in Krishna's building was to reciprocate lovingly with the Lord. The devotees should think of serving Krishna, not of becoming comfortable and forgetting the purpose of both the building and of life. The slamming of doors, although seemingly a minor fault, greatly disturbed Srila Prabhupada. It symptomized carelessness and misuse, and Prabhupada said that the sound cracked his heart. Turn off this sound before it interrupts. One time, Prabhupada came out of the room and called out, "Who is that slamming the doors? No one knows from where the building has come. You take it for granted that it is here, but no one cares." More often, however, Srila Prabhupada displayed a rose-like softness, an intimate, informal, and affectionate nature. The holy dham of Mayapur was the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. So the devotees that were living with Prabhupada in the spiritual world, the devotees there were living with Srila Prabhupada in the spiritual world. More than most any other place in the world, the devotees living in Mayapur knew they could walk into Prabhupada's room and see him. He sometimes even walked into their rooms. While they were working, reading, or talking, he might suddenly walk in and speak with them, asking them how they felt and how they were adjusting to living in India. "It is difficult living here," he would ask. "I think India is too hot. What do you think?" Even with the buildings incomplete, many guests were coming, especially to talk with Prabhupada, who patiently spent many hours each day speaking about Krishna consciousness with guests who came to inquire about his movement, or who came only to talk about themselves and their own philosophy. Sometimes he would remark that an individual had wasted his time, but he never stopped anyone from seeing him. One wealthy Hindu man, Mr. Brijratan Mohita, and his wife, a daughter of multimillionaire R.D. Birla, visited Prabhupada from Kolkata. Srila Prabhupada took care in properly hosting his guests, and he personally reviewed the menu and briefed his disciples on serving Mr. Mohita and his wife. Offering prasadam was important, an important part of the Vaishnava etiquette, and Srila Prabhupada always stressed that the devotees immediately offer prasadam to visitors. You should always be able to offer water, hot puris, and eggplant bhaji, fried eggplant, and sweets, Prabhupada said. This appears to be a more recent addition, but it says, you should always be able to offer water, not puris, and eggplant. So that obviously is an error that has slipped through. I hope it has not slipped through all these years in every edition. I'll have to write to Jayadvaita Swami. Prabhupada said, even when guests appeared shy, Prabhupada would insist they take a full meal. Mrs. Mohita, even though a member of one of the wealthiest families in India, was satisfied with the simple hospitality Srila Prabhupada and his disciples offered. The room Sri and her husband stayed in was unfinished. The slate floors had been polished, and construction work was going on all around. And the devotees could only offer them a mattress on the floor with a pillow. Yet they appeared to be quite satisfied and appreciative. Bhavananda is speaking. Srila Prabhupada introduced us to many details of Indian culture at Mayapur. He had us put down mattresses covered with sheets in his room. In 1970 in Los Angeles, he had asked me to sew sheets together to make a covering for the rug in his room. And then he had gotten down on his hands and knees right next to me, and we had smoothed out the wrinkles in the sheet. So he had us do that same thing in Mayapur, where we put mattresses from one end of the room to the other, with bolster pillows against the wall. Now you have white sheet covers, he said, and you change these every day. When Bengali gentlemen visited Srila Prabhupada in his room, they would sit on these mattresses around the edge of the room, their backs against the bolster pillows. It was very aristocratic. The whole mood was that he was the Mahant, the master of the house, the Acharya, but also the aristocratic Bengali gentleman saw that he was re-establishing the old aristocratic mood from the early 1900s or 1920s. It was from Srila Prabhupada's old days with the Mulluk family, and it was rapidly dwindling. At that time, you couldn't find a semblance of the old culture anywhere, because all those families had become degraded and their wealth gone. When the evening's multitudes of varieties of insects gathered around Prabhupada's light, he would sometimes comment on how they were such wonderful creations of God. This little insect, he said one evening, is both pilot and flying machine in one. Here there are hundreds of insects flying together, and yet there are no collisions. That is God's arrangement. They never crash, because the Supersoul is present. One in every heart. Let the material scientists manufacture such a wonderful machine with a built-in pilot that will not crash. When one man flies, and there are two planes, they have to be very careful. While a few devotees sat on the sheet cover mattress in his room, Prabhupada sat on his slightly raised asana, leaning back against a white bolster pillow. Both spiritual master and disciple enjoyed bliss in speaking and hearing about Krishna consciousness. The devotees wanted to hear Prabhupada's words and follow his will, and he wanted to instruct them. But these insects, Prabhupada continued, are not perfect. They are flying to the light. That means they are attracted to death. So they are just like the materialists. The materialists are building skyscrapers, yet they don't know what will happen at death. Henry Ford and other big capitalists had to die, but so many others are trying to become just like them. They do not know it means their death also. They are like these small insects. In the morning, we simply find heaps of them, all dead. Often, while Srila Prabhupada was talking in his room, the lights would suddenly go out and devotees would bring in kerosene lamps. And each night, while Prabhupada was speaking, the pujari would come, filling the room with frankincense smoke. Ghee lamps faintly illuminated the large teakwood bas-relief carvings of Radha and Krishna on the wall opposite Prabhupada's desk. During this summer visit, Prabhupada further revealed his vision for ISKCON's Mayapur development. The devotees were already aware that the plan was vast and would cost millions of dollars. They had one building, but this was only the beginning. In the total plan, this building was almost insignificant. Prabhupada spoke about a colossal temple, its great dome rising above the transcendental city. This Mayapur Chandrojaya Mandir would house the greatest planetarium in the world, depicting the universe as it is described in the Vedic literature. Of course, that is nearing completion now. To execute such a project, Prabhupada wanted to train his disciples in the Vedic arts, now dying in Bengal. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati had been greatly interested in using dioramas to depict the Leela of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. And now Prabhupada wanted his own disciples to learn the art of studying under local Mayapur artists. In June, Bharat Raj, Adi Dev, Murti, and Ishana arrived to begin learning the art of doll making. Prabhupada also wanted to wanted a disciple to learn to make mridangas, and a potter came every day to teach Ishana how to mold and fire the clay shells. The devotees converted Prabhupada's original straw cottage into a workshop, and Prabhupada began inviting other disciples to come to Mayapur. Mayapur is already wonderful, being the transcendental birthplace of Lord Krishna. By utilizing Western talents to develop this place, certainly it will become unique in the world. It's a quote from somewhere, but it doesn't say where. The Mayapur city, Prabhupada said, would be the fulfillment of desires of the previous acharyas. The city would grow to a population of 50,000 and would become the spiritual capital of the world. With its gigantic temple in the center and separate quarters for brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, and shudras, the city would be a model for all other cities. The day would come when the world's cities would be ruined. And humanity would take refuge in cities modeled after Mayapur. The development of Mayapur would mark the beginning of a Krishna-conscious world. Thus, the influence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would increase, and his predictions would manifest. In every town and village, my name will be chanted. Prabhupada said that Mayapur should eventually become more easily accessible by bridge from Navadvip, by motor launch up the Ganges from Calcutta, and from all parts by air. In Bengal, millions were by birth followers of Lord Chaitanya, and they would recognize and take up Krishna consciousness as the pure form of their own culture. There is a saying, what Bengal does, the rest of India follows. So if Bengal became reformed and purified by the Krishna conscious example of American Vaishnavas, then all India would follow. And when all India became Krishna conscious, the whole world would follow. I have given you the kingdom of God, Prabhupada said in his Mayapur managers. Now take it, develop it, and enjoy it. Throughout the month of June, Prabhupada continued to live happily and peacefully in the not yet completed building of the Mayapur Chandrodir Mandir. Although he had been ill with a cough since Los Angeles, a cough that he had been unable to cure while traveling in the West, on coming to Mayapur, his health had recovered. Another quote. In Mayapur, I am much improved from how I was in Los Angeles. The great advantage here is that there is always open air and a good breeze, which is naturally very good for any breathing difficulties. Certainly, Mayapur is a far better place than Los Angeles because you can enjoy the free air here. The climate is not too hot, but a little moist with humidity. But on the whole, it is very pleasing. Our building is most super excellently situated, and it is the experience of many respectable outsiders that while the outer atmosphere is unbearably hot, in our building it is pleasing. These quotes must be from Prabhupada's personal diary. Prabhupada praised the constant pleasurable breezes that pass through the building. He called them Vaikuntha breezes. Sometimes, however, a violent storm would suddenly appear. Although severe, these storms were also beautiful, with continuous lightning like neon lights filling the sky. One day a storm arose and the winds began to howl through the building. Noticing that Prabhupada's doors and windows were open, Shatatanya rushed into the room and began frantically closing them. But Prabhupada, seated at his desk, said, "Stop. Leave all the windows open." "Prabhupada," Shatatanya protested, "the storm is here." "Just leave them open," Prabhupada said, as the wind rushed through his room at more than 50 miles an hour. Prabhupada smiled. "There is no place in the world like this," he said, his saffron robes blowing. Prabhupada stood on the roof of the Mayapur building, looking over to the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, less than a mile away. "Actually," he said to Bhavananda Maharaj, "their claim to the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not very important. Is Krishna famous for having been born in Mathura? No, he is famous for his activities. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not famous for having been born in Mayapur. He is famous for his activities, for his Sankirtan preaching. This Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir is the preaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, I want a place that is so attractive because of the activities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that everyone will come here." While in Calcutta, before coming to Mayapur, Prabhupada had called several senior disciples into his room. "I have made many requests," he had said to them, "to translate Chaitanya Bhagavat, but I am going to translate the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita. Is that all right?" "Oh yes, Prabhupada," Bhavananda Goswami had replied. "That's wonderful." Decades ago, Prabhupada had written essays based on the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and over the years he had translated some of the verses and written purports to them. Then in America in 1968, He had completed teachings of Lord Chaitanya, a summary study based on certain important passages of Chaitanya Charitamrita. During his stay in Mayapur, however, he began anew a translation and commentary of Krishnadas Kaviraj's Chaitanya Charitamrita, beginning with the 7th chapter. As he progressed, he found a wonderful momentum and said he would publish a volume starting with chapter 7 for Lord Chaitanya's appearance day in March. Deciding to complete the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita, he suspended his work on Srimad Bhagavatam. In one of the first verses of the 7th chapter, Krishnadas Kaviraj states, "Let me offer my obeisances to Lord Sri Krishna, who has manifested himself in 5, as a devotee, expansion of a devotee, incarnation of a devotee, pure devotee, and devotional energy." Prabhupada wrote that the only way for people to be elevated in love of Krishna in the age of Kali is by the mercy of Pancha Tattva, or Lord Chaitanya in his form of 5 personalities. One should offer obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by chanting the Pancha Tattva mantra, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. This mantra should be recited before one chants the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There are 10 offenses in the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Prabhupada wrote, but these are not considered in the chanting of the Pancha Tattva Maha Mantra. One must first take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, learn the Pancha Tattva Maha Mantra, and then chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Verse after verse of the 7th chapter confirm the essential principles of Srila Prabhupada's mission and attesting that he was teaching exactly after the method advised by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How long is this class going? 9 o'clock? The characteristics of Krishna are understood to be a storehouse of transcendental love. Although that storehouse of love certainly came with Krishna when he was present, it was sealed. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with his other associates, the Pancha Tattva, they broke the seal and plundered the storehouse to taste transcendental love of Krishna. The more they tasted it, the more their thirst for it grew. Sri Pancha Tattva themselves danced again and again, and thus made it easier to drink nectarian love of Godhead. They danced, cried, laughed, and chanted like madmen, and in this way they distributed love of Godhead. In commenting on these verses, Prabhupada wrote, "The present Krishna consciousness movement follows the same principle, and therefore, simply by chanting and dancing, we have received good responses all over the world. It is to be understood, however, that this chanting and dancing do not belong to this material world. They are actually transcendental activities, for the more one engages in chanting and dancing, the more he can taste the nectar of transcendental love of God." By the phrase Krishna consciousness movement, Prabhupada spoke not only of his own disciples and his Krishna conscious society, but also of the movement inaugurated by Lord Chaitanya. Just as the original personality of Godhead and the deity of Krishna in the temple room were the same, so the movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prabhupada's Krishna consciousness movement were identical. In distributing love of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates did not consider who was a fit candidate and who was not, nor where such distribution should or should not take place. They made no conditions. Wherever they got the opportunity, the members of the Panchatattva distributed love of Godhead. For Srila Prabhupada, this verse directly confirmed the instruction he had received from his spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, that people of all births could become Vaishnavas, Brahmanas, and Sannyasis. Here was direct evidence from the scripture, yet Prabhupada, like his own spiritual master, had often received criticism from the caste-conscious Brahmanas of India. With the proof in hand, Prabhupada now challenged his envious critics. There are some rascals who dare to speak against the mission of Lord Chaitanya by criticizing the Krishna consciousness movement for accepting Europeans and Americans as Brahmanas and offering them sannyas. But here is an authoritative statement that in distributing love of Godhead, one should not consider whether the recipients are Europeans, Americans, Hindus, Muslims, etc. The Krishna consciousness movement should be spread wherever possible, and one should accept those who thus become Vaishnavas as being greater than Brahmanas, Hindus, or Indians. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu desired that his name be spread in each and every town and village on the surface of the globe. Therefore, when the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is spread all over the world, should those who embrace it not be accepted as Vaishnavas and Sannyasis? These foolish arguments are sometimes raised by envious rascals, but Krishna-conscious devotees do not care about them. We strictly follow the principles set down by the Panchatattva. Another criticism Srila Prabhupada encountered was that his emphasis on proselytizing was actually alien to Indian spirituality. Even Prabhupada's godbrothers had occasionally made such remarks. More often, however, this sentiment came from the impersonalists, who argued that people should be left to conceive of religion in their own ways. Religion, being an internal spiritual affair, should not be propagated by zealous evangelism. Preaching and conversion, they said, were for the Christians and not followers of Indian religion. In the 7th chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, however, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, reveals his heart and emotion as the ideal preacher. Although the members of Panchatattva plundered the storehouse of love of Godhead and ate and distributed the contents, there was no scarcity. For this wonderful storehouse is so complete that as the love is distributed, the supply increases hundreds of times. The flood of love of Godhead swelled in all directions, and thus young men, old men, women and children were all immersed in that inundation. The Krishna consciousness movement will inundate the entire world and drown everyone, whether one be a gentleman, a rogue, or even lame, invalid, or blind. When the first five members of the Panchatattva saw the entire world drowning in love of Godhead, and the seed of material enjoyment in living entities completely destroyed, they all became exceedingly happy. The more the five members of the Panchatattva caused the rains of love of Godhead to fall, the more the inundation increased and spread all over the world. This was Srila Prabhupada's spirit in training young men and women in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And he was offering these words of Lord Chaitanya to strengthen all the Lord's devotees. The members of the Krishna Consciousness movement should be confident that by preaching purely, they would meet with success. Prabhupada was confident. Here were the words of Shastra, words spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Prabhupada's personal experience confirmed the same. Thus he could write, "Our Krishna consciousness movement was started single-handedly, and no one provided for our livelihood. But at present, we are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars all over the world, and the movement is increasing more and more. Although jealous persons may be envious, if we stick to our principles and follow the footsteps of the Panchatattva, this movement will go on unchecked by imitation swamis, sannyasis, religionists, philosophers, or scientists, for it is transcendental to all material considerations. Therefore, those who propagate the Krishna consciousness movement should not be afraid of such rascals and fools." The verses of the seventh chapter describe the worldwide inundation of Krishna consciousness. Thus, the objections that Europeans and Americans could not become brahmanas or sannyasis would be swept away as Lord Chaitanya's mercy flooded the entire world. Nothing could check it. The words of Krishnadas Kaviraj intensified Prabhupada's desire to base his worldwide movement in the land where Sri Chaitanya appeared and began his Sankirtan movement. The Panchatattva had begun in Navadvipa, and from here the waves of love of Godhead were swelling outward. In Sridhar Mayapur, there is sometimes a great flood after the rainy season. This is an indication that from the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, the inundation of love of Godhead should spread all over the world. For this will help everyone, including old men, young men, women, and children. The Krishna consciousness movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so powerful that it can inundate the entire world and interest all classes of men in the subject of love of Godhead. In this seventh chapter of Adi Lila, Prabhupada found many other evidences authorizing ISKCON under the principles of Lord Chaitanya's teachings and activities. Krishnadas Kaviraj says that Lord Chaitanya's taking sannyas was a trick for delivering certain classes of society who otherwise would not have shown him respect. Prabhupada, in his commentary, explained that he also devised schemes for offering the benefits of Krishna consciousness to as wide a spectrum of society as possible, and he cited his acceptance of women into the Krishna consciousness movement. Therefore, it is a principle, he wrote, that a preacher must strictly follow the rules and regulations laid down in the Shastra, yet at the same time devise a means by which the preaching work to reclaim the fallen may go on with full force. June 27, 1973. From Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada went to Calcutta. He wrote to Tamal Krishna Goswami, "There is a suggestion by Shamasundar that I go to London for meeting very important men there in the new house given to us by George. But I want to make some definite settlement of Bombay affairs before I return to Europe and America. If there is a suitable place for me to stay for a few days in Bombay, I can go there immediately, and from there I may go to London." While considering his itinerary, Prabhupada passed some days in the Calcutta Temple on Albert Road. He was very free about allowing people to see him, and his room was often filled with local Bengalis as well as his own disciples, seated on the white sheet before him. In the evenings, he would go, even when it meant riding for miles through congested parts of the city, to spend an hour in someone's home preaching Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada's sister, Bhavatarani, known as Pishima, the Prabhupada's disciples, would also visit the Kolkata temple to see her beloved brother, and as usual, to cook for him. One day, however, a few hours after eating her kachoris, Prabhupada had felt sharp pains in his stomach. He closed his doors and went to bed. His followers became very concerned. When his servant, Shrutakirti, came to the room, he found him tossing. "Srila Prabhupada, what's wrong?" "My stomach," Prabhupada replied. "That coconut kachuri, it was not cooked." The seizures continued all night, and several devotees continually massaged Prabhupada's body, especially his stomach. But with every breath he would moan. Pashima was standing by, but Prabhupada's disciples feared her presence, thinking that she might want to cook something else for him, even in his illness. Prabhupada asked that the picture of Lord Nrisimha be taken from the altar and put beside his bed. Some devotees feared that Prabhupada might be about to pass away. The next morning, when the illness continued, the devotees called for a local Kaviraj, Ayurvedic doctor. The old Kaviraj came and diagnosed Prabhupada's illness as severe blood dysentery. He left medicine, but it was ineffectual. Later, when Prabhupada called Bhavananda to his room and requested fried puris with a little pakala, an Indian vegetable similar to a small squash, and salt, Bhavananda protested. Such fried foods would be the worst thing for him. Prabhupada said that this was the blood dysentery cure his mother had given him during his childhood. He then called for his sister, and speaking to her in Bengali, told her to prepare puris and patal. A few hours after taking the food, Prabhupada again called Bhavananda. He was feeling better. "My mother was right," he remarked. A lengthy telegram arrived from Shamasundar, glorifying the preaching opportunities that awaited Prabhupada in London, where he would be picked up at the airport in a helicopter and flown to the main event. The greatest Rath Yatra ever held. The parade would proceed down Piccadilly Lane, climaxing under a large pavilion at Trafalgar Square. The telegram went on to say that millions of Englishmen, including certain very, very important people, were eager to see Srila Prabhupada, and their arrangements were underway for Prabhupada to instruct the Queen's eldest son, Prince Charles, in Krishna consciousness. Some of the promises were exaggerated. Srila Prabhupada knew, but his desire to preach again in England was strong. George Harrison had given the devotees a large estate 45 minutes outside of London, and Prabhupada spoke of going there and installing deities of Radha and Krishna on Janmashtami day. Yet even now, over a month before Janmashtami, he was feeling deeply affected by Shamasundara's invitation. Although still exhausted from dysentery, he considered flying immediately to London. Calling in those GBC secretaries and sannyasis with him in Kolkata, sitting up in bed while they sat before him on the floor, Prabhupada asked their advice. They concluded that he should go to a healthier climate, Los Angeles or Hawaii, to rest and recuperate. Prabhupada mildly agreed, as his advisors decided. Hawaii would be the best place, a place where the climate was ideal and where he would have few interruptions. Suddenly, however, he sat up straighter. He would return to the West, he said, but to London, not to Hawaii. And not to recuperate, but to preach. "Let me strike while the iron is hot," he said. "I think this is an English maxim. If you do that, then you can keep the iron in shape. In the West, people are fed up, so we want to give them spiritual enlightenment." Prabhupada had immediately convinced his disciples with his forceful statements. There are two misleading theories in the West, he continued. One is that life comes from matter, and the other is that there is no life after death, and you can just enjoy this life. They say everything is matter. So this Krishna consciousness movement grows, and as it grows, the communists will be curbed down. People say that they are trying for unity, but they have no brains to see how they will achieve unity. They have formed a big, complicated League of Nations, and now United Nations, but they all fail. But this simple method of Ratha Yatra all over the world, it is spreading. Jagannath means Lord of the Universe. So Lord Jagannath is now international God through our ISKCON. Therefore, I want to go to the West and give them these things. Although Prabhupada appeared physically unfit to immediately fly to London to the act of preaching that awaited him, his disciples submitted, accepting that it was another miracle by Krishna. London, July 7th, 1973. Paravita speaking. It was Ratha Yatra Day. I saw Prabhupada coming into the temple, and he didn't look very strong. I was really amazed, but I could understand that his strength was something spiritual. Dhruvanatha said, at the parade site, we were waiting to receive Srila Prabhupada at Marble Arch, where the procession starts. The Vyasasan was nicely decorated, and everyone was expecting Prabhupada simply to sit on his Vyasasan on the cart and just ride through the streets, just as he had done in the other Ratha Yatras. So it was to our great amazement and joy that when Prabhupada came, he refused to sit on the Vyasasan. He indicated that he would dance and lead the procession, Yogeshwara. They brought stairs up so Prabhupada could mount the Ratha Yatra cart and sit down on the Vyasasan. But he waved them off and just started walking with the chariots, leading and dancing. Dear Ashanta, I twisted my ankle and couldn't walk, so I rode on the cart. Therefore, I could see Prabhupada very clearly. Revatananda Maharaj was chanting into the microphone from the cart. But after about 15 minutes of the procession, Prabhupada told the devotees to tell Revatananda Maharaj and the others to come down and lead the kirtan in the street with him. Revatinandana. When Prabhupada saw his Vyasasan on the cart, he said, no, I am just a devotee. I will go in the procession. We had a big, great kirtan. Hamsaduta led. I led Shamasundar. Different devotees trading off, leading this fantastic kirtan. And Prabhupada was right in the middle of the kirtan with his kartals the whole time. He was dancing back and forth and jumping up and down and dancing. Rohini Nandana. The cart was going quite slowly. Prabhupada walked about 20 or 30 yards ahead of the cart, leading the procession. Meanwhile, the kirtan was coming from the Rath cart through the microphones. Prabhupada called them all down, and he got them all around himself, and they were chanting Hare Krishna. Ever so often, he would turn around and raise both his arms very majestically in the air and say, Jai Jagannath! Sometimes he would get a little further ahead, and so then he would turn around and wait for the cart to come on. Sometimes he was dancing, and sometimes he would stand, raising his hands in the air. Saradhya Dasi. Prabhupada would dance, and then after a few feet, he would turn around and look up at the deities with his arms raised. Then he would dance for a few moments, meditating on the deities, and then he would turn around and go on. In this way, he danced the entire way. The devotees held hands in a circle around him to protect him from the crowd. It was a wonderful transcendental affair. Prabhupada was looking up at the deities and all the devotees were behind him. Sudarjaya. Prabhupada surprised us. We didn't know if he was sick or not, feeling weak and dizzy or not. Sometimes he looked very ill, and sometimes he looked like an 18-year-old boy. He surprised us. He had his cane in his hand, but raised it in the air and danced. After a while, Shyamasundara came up to me and said, "Listen, he's not going to make it. Prabhupada is very ill. I want you to follow in a car." But within 30 seconds reach, so we can put Prabhupada in the car immediately. Prabhupada was going down Park Lane, and from time to time, he would turn back and raise his hands. He was going so fast that he couldn't pull the cart fast enough to keep up with him. He would have to wait for the cart to catch up. He would turn back, raise his hands, and say, "Hari Bol!" Several times he did this. He was going so fast that he had to wait. The devotees were dancing. The weather was beautiful, and the crowd was wonderful. Dhruvanatha. The passers-by were rooted to the spot. Looking at Prabhupada, a man of that age, simply dancing and jumping in the air like a young boy, was the most amazing sight. And then every 5 minutes or so, Prabhupada would turn around and look toward Jagannath. The devotees would clear the way so no one blocked his sight, and had a perfect view of Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra. But after a while, the police came and mentioned that he couldn't keep stopping like this. He would have to keep the whole thing going because the traffic jams were becoming critical. Devotees were crying and chanting and dancing, and there was so much commotion. Shruti Kirti. When Prabhupada was dancing, the bobbies kept on coming up and looking for someone official. Finally, they came to me and said, "You'll have to tell your leader to sit down. He's causing too much of a disturbance. Everyone is becoming wild, and we can't control the crowd, you know." So I said, "All right." But I didn't say anything to Prabhupada. So they had to come again and said, "You must tell him he'll have to sit down." So I said, "All right." And I tapped Prabhupada. The whole time, he had been in ecstasy, dancing before the cart and encouraging everyone else to dance. He would motion with his hands and encourage the devotees to keep dancing. He kept the momentum of the festival. So I said, "Prabhupada, the police want you to sit down. They say you are creating havoc in the parade." Prabhupada looked at me, turned, and kept on. He completely ignored it and kept on dancing. And they couldn't do anything. Prabhupada wouldn't stop, and the police wouldn't say anything to him. Paravita. I was distributing Back to Godhead magazines along the whole parade route. I was exhausted, and I was having a lot of trouble keeping up with the procession. But Prabhupada was just there, and he was dancing like a young boy. I was amazed by his spiritual energy. Dhruvanatha. When we came to Piccadilly Circus, Prabhupada suddenly stopped the whole procession. Piccadilly Circus was just packed with people. For about 3 minutes, Prabhupada stopped the procession and just danced and danced with the devotees all around him. Rohini Nandana. When we got to Piccadilly Circus, Prabhupada really started to dance. He was leaping off the ground. The car was stopped. It was very similar, actually, to the description of in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of how Lord Chaitanya would lead the Ratha Yatra procession. So the cart was stopped, and then Prabhupada would wait for it to catch up. Yogeshwara. When we finally arrived at Trafalgar Square, and Prabhupada saw the big tent and the other arrangements the devotees had made, he held up his hands again. He had been dancing and walking the entire route of the parade. It must have been at least an hour that he had been walking and dancing all the way from Hyde Park to Trafalgar Square, Rohini Nandana. When Prabhupada got to Trafalgar Square, he immediately sat down on the plinth of Nelson's column on a little Vyasasan and delivered a lecture about the holy name of Krishna. This was directly after his marathon of chanting and dancing. So we'll stop there. Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda. Jai Jagannāth. All glories to the Sahaja.